I'm joined by Reem Alaf, Associate Fellow at Chatham House, who's an expert on Syria. Reem, you've been cautioning today that we shouldn't get too excited by the defection of a deputy oil minister. Why not?
Indeed, I think we all have, the people who are following the Syrian revolution, all have a great desire to see something new happening, to see a big defection or resignation, which may trigger a wave of similar defections. But unfortunately, I think that we must differentiate between significant defections from somebody high up in the regime and resignations from people in the government. The person who resigned or who defected, depending on how you want to call it, is a deputy minister. It is unlikely that he will be followed by people who belong to his particular, you know, school of thinking, if we can put it this way. We must differentiate between regime and between state and government. And this is, I believe, the mistake a lot of people are doing today.
So this isn't a kind of Moussa Koussa moment?
Not at all, not at all. And I have to say also that we have to also, I'm afraid, differentiate between the Libyan regime and the Syrian regime because of size, because of the infrastructure, perhaps also because of the fact that the Ba'ath Party, and today's the anniversary of the Ba'ath, the 8th of March, it's because it's much better integrated in Syrian institutions and infrastructure. It is a different case and a different scenario to that of Libya. In Syria, I would consider defections to be significant if they came, first of all, from the very top echelons of the army, the intelligence, or even of the close circle of the Assad family. And I really doubt that we would see that. In the history of this regime over the past couple of decades, I would say that the only major defection we've seen was that of Abdel Halim Khaddam, who was vice president and for many years foreign minister of Syria, and who defected after the assassination of Rafiq Hariri and made a big deal out of it. And I believe that was in 2005, in December 2005. Since then, we've seen nothing.
We hear that the Syrian economy is having a dire straits. Do you expect that there will be more defections in the coming weeks and months?
I think that there has been a gradual increase in defections, but they have been on a lower scale, on a, you know, people from a higher, not much power in the government in the first place. The army also has seen more defections, but again, they have been of lower ranked officers with, you know, quite a few number of soldiers, but not enough to change the balance of power in the army. This is still a very powerful army at the command of Assad regime. As for the government, again, I do not see any government minister who can today claim to have any significant following or who can try to have independence from the regime. Most of them are very loyal to the regime, and those would make a difference anyway. Had they wanted to defect, I think we would have seen defections much, much earlier. At this point, it's also a matter of convenience, of personal, you know, circumstances, I think. You know, people who would have wanted to defect would have done it much earlier than before. Perhaps they managed to do it now. Perhaps they managed to get out of the country. But what I'm trying to say is that I don't expect that this is going to be the thing that moves the Syrian situation forward, unless we have something different, not a defection, but something more like a coup within the regime. I don't think that any resignations or defections at that level are going to change anything.
Okay, Kofi Annan is due to arrive in Damascus on Saturday. We've had Valerie Amos in Homs yesterday. What hopes do you think there are for this UN Arab League initiative? Do you think that the regime is just playing for time by allowing them in?
Indeed, I'm afraid I don't have any positive any hopes really from all these initiatives. We have seen for the past year that the regime has played along with every single initiative, basically just to gain some time because it keeps believing that this is a revolution and an uprising that it can crush. So in a way, a lot of revolutionaries are right in saying that any diplomatic initiative at this point in time is merely giving the regime much more time to do its dirty work, which is the crushing of this revolution in a very violent manner. We've seen what happened with Hummus. Now it's moving up to Hama and to Idlib. And it's most probably going to be this way in every single city. So whether it's Kofanan or Valerie Amos, who herself was not able to see as much as she promised she would see, I think these are just diplomatic niceties, repeating the same requests from the international community or from the Arab League, which are to please withdraw the army from Syrian cities, to please engage with the opposition, which is a funny request given that even the opposition is refusing at this stage to dialogue with the regime. So I think that at this point, we're possibly seeing the Russians trying to get a foothold in the whole diplomatic game, but really, it is nothing more, in my opinion, than a waste of time.
Do you see any change at all in the loyalty of the two kind of key cities, Damascus and Aleppo? I don't know if you saw earlier this week, Joshua Landis, the Syria watch at Oklahoma, said that reported that Aleppo looks as if it may be turning a bit towards the opposition. Is that something you're hearing?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I hear it directly on the ground that there's an increasing amount of dissatisfaction in Aleppo and in Damascus. And Damascus has been, you know, from the very beginning, we have to be very careful of people who come and claim all of a sudden that, you know, people are changing, people are upset. This has been going on for a long time, perhaps not in the major centers of support to the regime. But from the beginning, we have seen the suburbs and the outer, you know, the outer districts of Damascus very angry at what's happening and paying a heavy price. And in Aleppo, it's the same thing. These are the people who are now, for most of the day, without electricity, without any power. These are the ones who have to go through so many checkpoints to get from one place to another. These are the ones who are really bearing the full brunt of the regime's anger at this uprising. So I think that means that all of a sudden Aleppo has changed. But I will tell you what will change is the sudden decline of this pound. We're talking now about roughly 100 Syrian pounds to the dollar since the past couple of days. Inflation, which is beyond the worst nightmare scenario of most Syrians, and I've just gotten off the phone with several people in Syria who are confirming to me that life has just become unbearable for people who had the means to get through until now. This is without even beginning to wonder how people with low income are managing. Prices have more than doubled, times tripled. Basic commodities, which are simply nowhere to be found right now. We have, in addition to that, a very high level of demand on fuel, on gasoline, which a lot of people believe that the regime is purposely holding back from a lot of the population, first of all, as a punitive measure, but also as a way to introduce higher prices, because this is how the regime is going to be financing itself. We have to remember, this is not just about inflation or sanctions, but because it's running out of money, the regime will be raising the cost of many things which it owns in order to continue financing itself and its repression. So rather than just people rising up in a number of places, probably it is the economy and this mass punishment of the population, which might in the end turn more and more people against the regime.
You say might. Do you think that Assad is doomed? Do you think he will survive the year?
It's very difficult to predict. I think that for the past year, we have been unable to foretell what will happen next. I think we can all agree, even fans of the regime, that there is no future for this regime, for the Assad family and for the Assad clan. They will not survive. It's really a question of how the fall will come. Will they be pushed by somebody from the regime who will try to save the country, or will they drag the country down with them? Especially now that we know that the whole idea of foreign intervention was never going to be one that was really entertained by the world. Turkey was talking tough from the beginning, but turned out to be just talk. They're not really willing to do anything, even to help in establishing safe zones for people. So, you know, we're at a point in the Syrian revolution. It will be 1 year old next week. We're at the 1 year cutoff mark where people know now what they can expect and what they cannot expect. And this is why it's very difficult to tell when Assad will fall. But I think most people, even those who would have wished that the regime would continue, I think they understand that we've gone way too far. There's been way too much blood which has been spilled. And may I remind you, we don't even know what the final tally is, because there are tens of thousands of people who are simply missing today in Syria, who've been taken in by the intelligence and who have just disappeared off the face of the earth. We don't know if they're jailed or if they're alive or dead. And we have many people as well who've been wounded in attacks by the regime and who have been simply left to die in their homes or in field clinics when nobody dares to help them. So, the magnitude of the repression is much bigger than what we've heard. It's not just a matter of, you know, the daily toll of victims that we've been counting. I think it's a lot bigger than that. And once you realize just how big it's gotten is when you realize that there's very little chance that the regime is going to manage the level of repression for much longer. Something's going to give. It's going to be maybe financial, economic, military, maybe somebody in the regime high enough up, you know, high up, will manage to get people around and say, this is where it stops. But something will break the camel's back or the lion's back. We just don't know yet which one it will be.
But the resignation of an oil minister, a deputy oil minister, won't be that. That's draw.
In my opinion, we've been making, way too much of that defection. But of course, it just shows just how desperate Syrians are to hear any good news that something is moving. I tend to be more, I don't want to say realistic, but I don't think that this is what's going to change the direction or, you know, the scope of the Syrian revolution at this point.
Okay, Reem, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.